The title of this message is He Remembered. He remembered and things got better. I remember a time in Maryland, my life, we had a guy living out there on the farm. They were all living off of Maryland when I came there, all of them living off of her. And she did a lot of work for this guy, did a lot of legal work and writing and things to help him out. And paid for his, bought all his groceries, his rent, his electricity for how many years? 3, 4 years, 5 years? He owed her about $20,000. He said, I will never forget you. I'll never forget you. I'll never forget you. Wait, if I get anything else. Well, he got hundreds of thousands of dollars. And he came by there and gave us $2,000 and took off running. We never heard from him again. He gave us 10%. If that much of what he owed her. He didn't remember. He did not remember. Did he? No. All the work, all the free gasoline, credit card, everything else he needed, and I'll remember you when I get my money, and he did not. Now, Joseph told the cupbearer, remember me, remember me. So now let's go on in the 41st chapter of the book of Genesis. Now it happened at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh had a dream. Another hypnotic trance. Pharaoh had a dream now. Pharaoh. Pharaoh means what?
Big house.
The man in the big house. And behold, he was standing by the Nile River. The Nile River was a god to them, a god. Everything was a god. The frogs were gods. The fish were gods. The birds were gods. The cattle were gods. Everything was a god in this country. And he's standing by the Nile River. And lo, pay attention, the Nile, there came up 7 cows. Here, they, of course, they worship these cows as gods. There's 7 gods, 7 cows, sleek and fat, healthy looking, full of flesh. And they grazed in the marsh grass. And behold, 7 other cows came up after them from the Nile, and they were ugly, and they were skinny, and they stood by the other cows on the bank of the Nile River. And the ugly and skinny cows ate up the 7 sleek and fat cows. Then Pharaoh awoke. And he fell asleep again and dreamed the second time. Behold, 7 ears of grain came up in a single stalk. Plump and good. Then behold, 7 ears then scorched by the east wind and sprouted up after them. And the thin ears swallowed up the 7 plump and full ears. And Pharaoh awoke and behold, it was a dream. It was a hypnotic trance is what it was. God's talking to him in this dream. Now it came about in the morning that his spirit was troubled. So he sent and called for the magicians. Remember I told you that the magicians of Egypt were all fortune tellers and they were all interpreters of dreams. And all its wise men and Pharaoh told them his dream, but there was not one who could interpret them to Pharaoh. Now we are plagued today with modern-day prophets. Did you know that? We're plagued with them today. That you can turn on YouTube, you can get on the deal and hear this woman, this man, and they're prophesying. This baby is prophesying. All these people are prophesying that Trump is coming back, that the bad people are going to fall and they're going to put in jail. Oh, how wonderful that would be, wouldn't it? It would be wonderful if it was true. But they're liars. They're liars. Now, if these pharaohs, magicians, had told him that it was something and it didn't happen, you know what would have happened to them? Yeah. Slit their throats. Now, a real prophet of God, it says in the Old Testament, it tells you how to tell a prophet of God. If a prophet of God tells you something and it doesn't become absolutely true, then you give him a sucker and send him away. What do? You kill the sucker. You kill him. If we had to go by biblical standards, I don't think there would be any modern-day prophets. I think they'd have a little fear in them, wouldn't they? Just a little bit. And I mean, the problem with these people is that they put false notions in people's head and false hopes. False notions and false hopes. The modern-day prophets are modern-day liars. Just like most of the salesmen at the used car dealers. Just like most of the salesmen that come to your house and the insurance salesmen and et cetera and et cetera, et cetera. One time I bought an insurance policy for my daughter from this guy, and he wanted me to buy a life insurance policy for her. And I said, well, that's good and fine, but I need health insurance for her. That's what I want. And he's a Blue Cross salesman. And he come up back and they sent me this life insurance policy. I didn't buy a life insurance policy, but he made a lot of money on that, see. He made a lot of money on that. I called him and I said, I didn't buy a life insurance policy, I bought health insurance policy. And her health was so bad, Marilyn, we couldn't even buy her health insurance policy, could we? A life insurance policy. They wouldn't do it because she was too ill. Well, I finally took me a year and a half to get that straightened out because a man lied to me. People are liars by nature. You know that? They just are. We got too many, we're surrounded by them today, but there's one man here in Egypt that wasn't going to lie because God was his interpreter. And all the magicians of Egypt and all his wise men and Pharaoh told them his dreams, but not one of them could interpret them. And the chief cupbearer spoke to Pharaoh, saying that I would make mention today of my own offenses, my own sins, he said. Pharaoh was furious with his servants and put me in the confinement in the house of the captain and the bodyguard, both me and the chief baker. And we had a dream in the same night, and he and I, each of us, dreamed according to the interpretation of his own dream. Now a Hebrew. Hebrew means what? Somebody from the other side of the river, okay? A Hebrew youth was with us there, and a servant of the captain of the bodyguard, and he related to them, and he interpreted our dreams to us. To each one he interpreted according to his own dream. And it came about that just as he interpreted for us, so it happened. He restored me to my office and he hanged him. And Pharaoh sent and called for Joseph. And they hurriedly brought him out of the dungeon. And when he had shaved himself and changed his clothes, he came to Pharaoh. Now, we have customs in this land. Now, the modern-day Hebrews have beards, and the men do, and they long hair and all of this business. And this is before the law. But the Egyptians were very clean people, very clean people. They shaved themselves every day, sometimes twice a day. They bathed sometimes twice a day, every day. Not quite like they did in France and England later. They were clean. They kept their body odor down, etc. Now, Joseph has been living in a dungeon, basically in a prison house, and prison houses stink, just like old folks. Have you ever walked into an old folks' home? An old health care center, you know, assisted living, what do they smell like?
Smell like urine.
Yeah. Well, they took him out of there, and he couldn't come in Pharaoh's presence till he cleaned up and shaved himself and was nice and clean, because Pharaoh didn't want anything dirty in front of him. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, I have had a dream, but no one can interpret it. And I have had it said about you that when you hear a dream that you can interpret it. And Joseph then answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not me that interprets the dreams. God will give Pharaoh a favorable answer. So Pharaoh spoke to Joseph, and in my dream, behold, I was standing by the bank of the Nile River. And behold, seven cows, fat and sleek, came up out of the Nile, and they grazed on the marsh grass, which they do. There's plenty of grass there. That's a lot of silt and a lot of fertile land there. And lo, seven cows came up after them, poor and ugly and skinny and gaunt, such as I had never seen for the ugliness of all the land of Egypt. We don't raise cattle like that. And the lean and the ugly cows ate up the first seven fat cows, and yet when they had devoured them, it cannot be detected that they had devoured them, for they were just as ugly and thin and skinny and gaunt as before they ate them. And then I awoke from my hypnotic trance. And I saw in my dream, behold, seven ears full and good up in a single stalk. Remember all these seven. Seven is number of perfection in the Bible too, isn't it? And lo, seven ears withered thin and scorched by the east wind and sprouted up after them. And the thin ears swallowed up the seven good ears. And then I told it to the magicians. But there was no one who could explain it to me. Now Joseph said to Pharaoh, Pharaoh's dreams are one and the same. God has told to Pharaoh what is about to happen in your land. God's talking to you, Pharaoh. The seven good cows are 7 years. And the seven good ears are 7 years, and the dreams are one and the same. Now let me tell you a little bit about this land. This land, most of the land in the Middle East at this time was what we call dry land farming, wasn't it? And in Texas and Oklahoma, Kansas, and a lot of places like that, it is dry land farming. You go out there and you farm the land and all of that, and then you just wait for God to send the rain. But Egypt's different. The word Egypt means what? Mitzrayim. You remember that? Mitzrayim?
Red bank.
Land of red banks and canals and red banks. Because it was red ground, red clay. Land of canal banks and water. Rivers, water, they irrigate the land, and they will have more land there, more food there than any place else, because even when in the dry years, for the first 2 or 3 years, you've got enough irrigation, you're still irrigating land. But the rest of the whole place is going to be what? Devastated. No crops whatsoever. God has told the Pharaoh what's about to happen. The seven good cows are 7 years, and the seven good ears are 7 years, and the dreams are one and the same. And the seven lean and ugly cows that came up after them are 7 years, and seven thin ears scorched by the east wind shall be 7 years of famine. So now, what is this? This 14 years he's talking about. 14 years altogether. Behold, 7 years of great abundance are coming on all the land of Egypt. You're going to have great abundance. We're going to have more rain. We're going to have more crops than we ever had before for 7 years. That kind of reminds us in our lives sometimes when we were making money, we better save some of it and do something because there may be a time when the years are lean, huh? You got to leave something behind, save something for the lean years. And the later years of our lives are the leaner years, I can assure you of that. Unless we're a politician and got all our family living off of China or whatever, like the Bidens and the Pelosis and the Feinsteins and the Bushes and the Hillary Clintons and etc. They make empires off of their names. Empires. And after them, 7 years of famine will come, and all the abundance will be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine will ravage the land. So the abundance will be unknown in the land because of the subsequent famine, and it will be that extremely severe, very severe. Now as for the repeating the dream to Pharaoh twice, it means that the matter is determined by God, and God will quickly bring it to happen. In other words, you're going to have seven abundant years now. And now let Pharaoh look for a man discerning, wise, and set him over the land of Egypt. Let him do it. Let him be your manager. Let him be your CEO. Let Pharaoh take action to appoint overseers in charge of the land, and let him exact fifth of the produce of the land. That's 20%. Of Egypt in 7 years of abundance. Let him put a tax of 20% in the land. I'm going to tell you something. Joseph is going to make Pharaoh the richest man in the world. Then let him gather all the food of these good years that are coming and store them up in grain for food in the cities and under Pharaoh's authority, and let them guard it. Let him put silos in the land and let them guard the silos. The great abundance. If you're going to Bishop, we have silos down there, old silos that used to be there years ago. And let the food become as a reserve for the land for the 7 years of famine which will occur in the land of Egypt, so that the land may not perish during the famine. Now the proposal seemed very good to Pharaoh. And to all his servants too. And the Pharaoh said to his servants, "Can we find a man like this in whom the divine spirit, the spirit of God, so Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Since God has informed you of all this, there is no one so discerning and wise as you are. So you shall be over my house according to your command to all of my people, and they shall do homage to you. Only in the throne will I be greater than you." Only when I'm sitting on my throne will I be greater than you. You're going to be the greatest man in all the land. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, "See that I have set you over all of Egypt." And Pharaoh took off his signet ring. That's the ring of the seal of the king. When you had this signet ring, you put it in a clay or wax seal with a document, and you sealed every document with it. Pharaoh took the ring off his hand and put it in Joseph's hand and clothed him in garments of fine linen and put the gold necklace around his neck. And he had him ride in the second chariot, and they claimed before him, bow the knee. And so he set him over all the land of Egypt. Now he's going to be over all the land. Remember now, Joseph had a dream when he was back in the land of Canaan, didn't he? It said that all the people of the world would bow down to him, all his brothers and everything, they would all bow down to him. And this is the fulfillment of God's dream. This is not a false modern day prophet here. This is the real deal. Moreover, Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Though I am Pharaoh, yet without your permission, no one shall raise his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt." Then Pharaoh named to Joseph, Zephaniah-Paneah means Savior of the world. Savior of the world. He would save all the lives of all the known world around them. Savior of the world. Now, you know, in many ways, in over 70 ways, Joseph was a type of Jesus Christ. Is Jesus the Savior of the world? Really? Zephaniah-Paneah. And he gave him Asenath. And she was named after a god. The daughter of Potiphar, the priest of own. And here we have now her family are the priests of the sun god. The sun god. These are the priests. They are the high priest of the land of Egypt. She's from the high priest. So he gives her, Pharaoh gives Joseph a daughter from the high priest clan. And the high priest clan have no taxes in the land. Did you know that? They're tax free. The daughter of Potipharah, the priest of On and his wife, and Joseph went forth over all the land of Egypt. Now Joseph was 30 years old. How old was Jesus when he began his ministry?
Oh, 30
years old. Was Jesus the Savior of the world? Jesus is the Savior of the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. He was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went to all the land of Egypt. And during the 7 years of plenty, the land brought forth abundantly by the handfuls, it says. So he gathered all the food of the 7 years which occurred in the land of Egypt and placed the food in cities, storage cities, store cities. And he placed in every city the food from its own surrounding fields. And Joseph stored up grain in great abundance like the sand of the sea until he stopped measuring it where it was beyond measure. Now before the year of the famine came, two sons were born to Joseph, whom Asenath, the daughter of Potiphar, the priest of On, bore to him. And Joseph named the firstborn, he causes me to forget, Manasseh. He causes me to forget. And God made me forget all my trouble in all of my father's household. All the trouble that I had in my father's household, the hate of my brothers. And he named the second one Ephraim. And Ephraim means double fruitful. God has made me double fruitful. For he said, God has made me fruitful in the land of my affliction. And that's what happened later on, didn't it? 400 years later. When Israel left the land as slaves, they were very fruitful. They went out wealthy with great abundance. And the 7 years of famine began to come. And just as Joseph had said, then there was famine in all the land, but in the land of Egypt there was bread. Not only that, but all the other land was dry land farming, and they were still producing some in the land of Egypt because they were irrigated. Land of red banks, canal banks, and mud. Red mud, canal banks. Mithraim. So when all the land of Egypt was famines, the people cried out to Pharaoh for bread, and Pharaoh said to all the Egyptians, go to Joseph. And whatever he says to you, you'll do it. And when the famine was spread over all the face of the earth, that's the known earth at that time, everything around them, then Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold the Egyptians, and the famine was severe in the land of Egypt, and the peoples of all the earth came to Egypt to buy grain from Joseph. Because the famine was severe in all the earth. And now God is going to, in his unpreventable progress and his eternal purpose, he's going to bring Joseph and his sons back together, and he's going to fulfill Joseph's hypnotic trances, his dreams, and all his land. We remember, we look at America today, and we lived in, I grew up in one of the most wonderful nations in the world. So did you, Larry, in Maryland. We grew up in a land that the whole world just respected. And now it is horrible. Horrible. A land of hierarchy. We know what it was like when it was good, don't we? And boy, it's rough now. You know, I remember when you walk into Western Auto. I don't know if there's any Western Autos left. You could walk into JCPenney. You could walk into Sears Roebuck and Company. Montgomery Ward's.
Five and Dime.
What's that?
Five and Dime.
The Five and Dime.
Five and Ten.
Benjamin, Ben Franklin's. You could walk into these people and they said, hello, Mr. Phillips. If you had to give them a check or whatever, they knew who you were and they took your check. They didn't ask for an ID. They didn't ask for anything else because they knew who you were. I'm going to tell you something, people. When you walk into a place now, and especially in these big cities, and all you are is a number, you don't matter at all. It's awful hard to go downhill like that, isn't it? Isn't it hard to go downhill? I live in a little place here. We can go down there to the hardware store and say, I want to put this on credit. What they say, put it on a piece of paper. Go down to the grocery store down there and say, I'm going to get some gas. I'm going to do this and that. And I need it on credit. And they say, go get the paper. Isn't that nice? We still got a little bit of something left here. But I remember when it was that way all over. Now Joseph's going to change the whole land of Egypt. He's going to make Pharaoh the richest man in the world at that time. He's going to own all the land. Because when people are hungry, they will give anything for food, won't they? Remember old Esau when he was just hungry and lusting for food. And he said, so what if I give you my birthright? It doesn't mean anything to me. I'm hungry. What's it going to be like one of these days in hell when there is no way out? No way out. And you're thirsty and you're hungry. No insurance policy there. No Social Security there. No food stamps. Nothing. Forever. Whatever you're going to do in this world today, you better decide it right now. Where you are while you're breathing above ground. Ask God to forgive you and save your soul and give your life to Him. Father, I send this message out for your honor and glory. Please use it for your honor and your glory. Please bring those to you that need help, that need healing in their time of sickness, and need the grace of God as they close their eyes in death. Father, thank you for your word and what it means to us and all the beautiful stories in it. Sometimes all the shocking stories too. Father, please forgive me where I fail you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.